This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Ryan.
If like an alien, if you reached out to an alien and the alien was like, dude, you shouldn't do this and don't even leave, you shouldn't even be talking to us right now. Mm-hmm. And then would your answer to that alien be, nah, just come here.
I mean, if it was nice enough, maybe.
No,
maybe,
well,
just come to me.
Yeah, right. In this instance, the alien is a pacifist.
Right.
But makes clear that their rest of the race, that the rest of the aliens that they're from, not so much. Also, yeah. You shouldn't even be talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, how many bodies do you have?
Three, and it's a problem.
I have one body. I was trying to make a Jay-Z joke. Hold on. Should anyone hit me?
Oh, that hit real good.
Did it?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ryan. That's Adam. We are talking about Three Body Problem today, a show on Netflix that is sweeping the nation, all nations perhaps. It's currently the number one streaming show on Earth. This is the second time it has been made into a TV show. It is based off of a trilogy of books that was published first in 2008. And from there, it's become one of the largest IPs of the last decade, first coming out of China. In fact, one of the major changes, I don't know if you know this, Adam, but from the book is like a lot. It's in China.
Yeah.
The book is in China.
Yeah. When I was doing some research on this show after I had finished it, I was curious to read more about like theories and things like that. And I was getting results from the original show, and it was causing me to be even more curious because it was giving me information that I had not seen in the show I just watched. So I did know a little bit about kind of the prerequisite of it being a book, where it was placed a little bit on the original show, but I ended up finding my way to the current stuff. But yes, they interjected more of like a real world scenario, in modern day, England, right?
Yeah.
So
they put it in England.
Yeah.
And the other show came out pretty recently.
Yeah. Like 2009 something, right?
No. January of 2023.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. The book was in like 2009.
That's correct. I'm talking about the show.
Where did the show release on? Was it just on like some Chinese streaming provider?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
So I Tencent Video, CCTV. The network is China Central Television.
Perfect.
Do you, is that information helpful to you?
Yeah,
do you feel like you know more now?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of gives me the idea. Oh, this is kind of like a Fox show, but in China.
I don't know the context.
As opposed to like a streaming show. Like, I figured I would have seen it on a streaming platform, but clearly it's dependent on just being in China.
Okay, yeah. I know this is, it's, I think, become clear.
Mm.
I don't know anything about China, and so I have no legs to stand on here. But what I do know is television, as yes. I was raised on it. So I think I will stick to what I am qualified to do,
sure.
Which is talk about television shows. So
are we even qualified, really?
To talk about TV? Absolutely.
All right.
It's sort of, I will stand on that forever. It's sort of the only thing I'm qualified to do.
All right, fair enough.
Just based on sweat equity. Okay. So created by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, a.k.a. the Game of Thrones guys, and Alexander Wu. This is a part of David Benioff and D.B. Weiss's Netflix deal. And so that deal continues, whether or not Netflix has them do something else or Three Body Problem season two is still up in the air. But Three Body Problem season one, a lot of people watched it.
A lot of people watched it. It was kind of, you know, I didn't see any sort of ads. And I feel like this is a theme that we're getting recently for some of these like heavy hitting shows. I'm not seeing ads for them, even on the platform that they're released on. I just happen to see them hit number one and then they're all over the internet. At one
right.
point.
I mean, isn't that the ad enough?
Yeah, like, it is free advertising. And yeah,
I mean, that's the main way that, I don't know how anyone else uses Netflix or any of these streaming services, but like I barely scroll anymore.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
You don't? You just
no, I don't. I go to the top 10 and I see what's there and I pick something and then, I go to the next one.
So you straight up only choose like top of the charts shows. You're not looking for anything.
100, almost never. Unless wow. I'm going to HBO for a comfort show, trying to watch The Newsroom or West Wing.
Sure.
I am just going to the top 10. That's how I found Death and Other Details on Hulu, which obviously long-term mistake. But like this one, I just knew because it was more in the zeitgeist than a lot of shows from recent memory. Just people were talking about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the point. I'm going to assume that everyone listening to this right now has seen the show.
Yes. Spoilers,
or doesn't care about us talking about the show.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm not going to recap what it is, except for to say, you know, it is based on an alternative reality where in China in the 1960s, there was just a complete about face towards intellectualism and science as a whole and how that reverberates through the world. And also, by the way, a lady who was caught up in all of that and watched her father get murdered had the opportunity to talk to an alien. The alien was like, "You shouldn't be talking to us." And she was just like, "Nah, just come here." And the alien was like, "You don't understand. All of my friends are so mean." And then she was like, "Yeah, that's better.
You know, I'm the cool one.
That's better that they're mean. I want them to be mean."
In fact, it is the fantasy of an alien world is that they're mean and try to attack us.
Right. And then long term, we figure out that the aliens' world is just not going well. They're kind of gravityifying, I believe is the term, around three planets, which makes it bad. So they are trying to get up and out of there, and they're coming to Earth to, there are varying, who know, what are they even going to do, you know?
You know, or so, they're going to invade us and take our nutrients and soil and move on.
Or live here now.
Or just straight live here. It will
be their aliens. In 400 years. Okay.
We'll be their alien slaves.
Let's dig into this.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about this as like one season of television or one kind of show.
Okay.
To me, this is two shows. To me, this is before the ship thing.
Oh,
after the ship thing.
yeah I agree. It definitely like cut down the middle, no pun intended. Actually, it was very intended, show. And there was very clearly two separate parts to this, and both were good. I mean I liked both of them. I liked the show.
I have a different opinion than you.
Right on.
Yeah, so let's talk about the first half first.
Yeah,
the first half is a murder/suicide mystery. It is a science fiction-esque, but it's kind of teetering on it, right? Like there's a girl who can't be seen on cameras but is murdering people and lighting cigarettes.
Yeah,
there's a sky that's blinking. There's an alternative history kind of thing going on where you see a future or a present and a past and how we got here. But like, it's easing you into this is an alien show. and really focused on getting you acquainted with the characters, who are a group of scientists, physicists, who all have now come to England in some capacity.
Yeah, so, and then comes the Vision Pro headset. It's also a little bit of a gamer fantasy world, because I'll be honest with you, if the Vision Pro headset was exactly like the dome pieces that they were putting on, that would be so sick. Like, I would love to experience that.
Yes, it has a full take on what the future of virtual reality can and from the perspective of this show should be. And that also gives away pretty quickly, like, okay, the Earth does not have this kind of technology right now. So where'd this come? Where'd it come from?
And it just appeared on my desk with my name inscribed on it. Weird.
Right. At some point, Liam Cunningham's character, Thomas Wade, says, like, yeah, I can't fight aliens, but I've been we've been fighting humans. You know what? I might not have been him. Some character said, I've been fighting humans my whole life.
Oh,
I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I don't
remember. It's probably Augie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the first half of the show, I was really enthralled by it.
Okay.
I thought it was done really well. It is a smart show. I really liked the video game aspect of it.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like almost like turn into the like a Ready Player One type of movie. That's what I thought it was going at first, and then I continued watching.
Right, like, it had an aspect of the characters have a very specific goal.
It's, yeah.
And there are levels of that goal, and they are progressing as they learn about this game, and the game is taking over their lives. And then, but at the same time, on the outside, in the outside world, some of them are getting murdered, and some of them have invisible people near them. So, like, what's even going on there, you know?
Yeah, it was... I agree with you. The first half of the show was incredibly strong. The crescendo up to the ship scene was... that scene was insane, and we'll talk about it, but insane and awesome, and I freaking love that scene. But it did take a little bit of a downward... step each episode as they finished into the show, and that's a bummer because there was so much promise.
I want to, by the way, point out some of the executive producers on this: Ryan Johnson, Brad Pitt, Rosamund Pike.
Oh, I did see Brad Pitt on there on the credits. And Ryan Johnson. I'm like, well, maybe that's why.
No. Ryan Johnson's Star Wars is better than people give it credit. The way people talk about Ryan Johnson's Star Wars is the way that people talk about season 7 and 8 of Game of Thrones. I need people to get over it.
Well,
and, like,
also,
come back to,
you know, Jurassic World.
Sure. Solid point. Take a point for our old boy, Adam. Okay. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
This show basically exists so the ship thing could happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just a way to get the most gruesome and intense mass death scene on television I've ever seen happen. And it happens so fast.
No, you said that. It doesn't kind of. It happens a little slow, which is why it's messed up.
No, I mean, like, it just ramps up. Everything just starts crescendoing so quickly. Yeah, it crossing through the ship did in fact go slowly.
Yeah,
but
when Augie says it is working, I was like, ooh, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we just can't see it yet.
Oh, yeah, and it's invisible. And I mean, okay, so a little bit ghost ship, though.
Oh, my God, yes, I thought about that, too. Yep.
I mean, when did ghost ship come out? Ghost ship.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but, well, I mean, you're thinking of one very specific, like, 3-second scene in Ghost Ship.
Yeah, the most famous opening scene of Ghost Ship that came out in 2002.
Yeah.
So, before or as the books were being written, and the guy was like, okay, but what if it was not just, like, one string? What if it was a bunch of them and they were tiny?
What if it was 15 and you couldn't see them?
I'm going to write a trilogy so that I can put that one scene in there.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves because it was the crescendo of the show. I thought it was.
It was not. It was in the middle of the season.
But yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like that for me was like kind of the high point of the show, and then it got worse.
Yeah, no, it was the best part.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
And then, I'm sorry if I trigger you here, Ryan, but the scene where he jumped down onto the ground.
Oh, gross.
So when that happened, I went, oh, Ryan's not going to like that.
I didn't like it. I didn't like that. I don't like when bones break in movies or films. It reminds me of the time where my bone broke.
Yeah, but it was specifically the same.
And it was an ankle, which is what happened to me. And so I doubled and like it. You were an apt observation.
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens. The whole ship is gone.
Well, we literally jumped to that scene. That we missed the whole part about Rooney's getting off there. That one I didn't see coming, honestly. The whole side quest, we call them now, of Will's story with pancreatic cancer, like that was actually a really well done. I thought that was a very well done story, like side story. But yeah, all that stuff happened, and the Rooney thing was a bummer because he was my favorite character for sure.
Yeah, that one I don't know. I didn't feel like the Rooney death was earned.
No, it wasn't.
And so it kind of made me feel bad, but at the same time, it was surprising. So like, okay, so you surprised me. Congratulations.
Right.
A bummer.
Right. It was just there for shock value, I think. Like, anything's possible. These guys are bad.
Yeah, they're she's invisible again.
Yeah.
Tatiana's invisible still. Tatiana. And then Will's storyline. I liked it.
Same.
Right up until he was a brain that got pulled out of a body and put on a spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is sort of, it is part of the gumbo. It is part of the soup that made the second half of the show worse for me, which was, okay, you've now broken open the barrier and you can do anything. The aliens can have any powers that you want them to have. The aliens can be anywhere and do anything all the time. Mm. So whatever happens is just the craziest stuff that you can make up. And all the humans lose agency, except for the fact that, no, we're clawing it back. And the best way, with the way we've decided to claw it back, boom, cut out a brain and put it in a box, put it in a space.
Yeah, we're going to send this brain in hopes for the body to be regenerated by these alien things in a 1 in 1 trillion shot mission. And then I'm going to also send corn seeds because he liked corn.
Yeah. And let me make really clear. I think all the acting in the show was really good.
Oh, no, I agree.
I don't think there was a weak performance. Hmm. I think Liam Cunningham was so good. Isaac Gonzalez is a star. She needs to be in everything.
Yeah.
The music by Ramin Djawadi, of course, amazing. Mm. Everything he does straight up turns to gold. Benedict Wong for me is the standout of the season of the series. The scenes where him and his son were talking were hilarious to me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I really liked Will's character.
I did too. I thought that they would do something different with it. But I mean, I get the whole spin on like, let's send his brain because they're scientists and that's what he probably would have thought that would be cool. And he did think that was cool because he was dying. But it felt like very lackluster for a very well written story, side story.
Yeah. Also, a side story coming that I don't think was earned either was all of Saul's story, right?
Oh,
it is mixed up with Will, and then at the end he becomes chosen and shot at. And
yeah, that the ending, I think that was one thing that I didn't really like, was the transition to the final episode. It just didn't feel, it was very rushed, man.
The final episode was, and okay, I'm really sorry to everyone listening to this who are like, I can't wait to hear Adam and Ryan talk about how they love Three Body Problem. And by the way, it's one of those things where, like, overall, I did like the show.
Yeah, it was good.
And if there's a second season, when there's a second season, I will absolutely watch it because I think Brain Will is going to get... Something's going to happen to that.
Oh,
if that, nothing happens to Brain Will, then I'm turning the show off and I'm
oh,
done.
I'll be... That's, like, such a waste of a character that was, like, so genuine and honest.
Also, like, such a waste of an at-bat where you swung really hard.
I know.
Have that payoff at some...
Yeah.
It has to. It
I would love Will to just appear on Earth again or something like that. You know, like, they
actually
do it. Will's
the son now. He's whole son.
He's the fourth body problem.
Oh, and he's just like on, and he says things like, I'm on fleek. I'm in the fourth body problem and I'm on fleek. And he
I'm
dabs.
On fleek for real, for real.
God. On God. He says on me.
On me.
Fleek, 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 dab. And then, okay. So yeah, I think about halfway through the finale, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it felt bad.
Oh, we're not getting anywhere here. I didn't know going to that point that it was a trilogy of a book series.
And neither did
so
I.
Thought,
yeah.
I thought it was being set up as a mini series. And it became very clear halfway through the finale that that was not the case. Mm, that mm-hmm. we were not going to get any resolutions. And this was going to like have to go on for us to understand what's going on. But also, okay. Time. Is a major issue with this show.
Yeah.
Because it makes the first half of the show cool and better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, a distinct line in the sand of which part of the show was well done and which one was like, we got to rush it to get to the last episode.
Yeah. All of the flashbacks, I love.
Yeah.
All of the stuff in the 60s, 70s. I think was really, really cool.
For sure.
And if we spent more time there, I would have enjoyed it and not gotten sick of it, I think. And even in the second half of the show, all the flashbacks, every part of the show with where there's a flashback, I'm in. The problem came when they introduced the 400 years thing.
Yeah, it was like there's no stakes anymore. Why wasn't it like 15, 20 years?
Right. It's not going to be your generation.
Right. So who cares?
It's not going to be your generation. That's fine. If that's what the show is. Like, there have been shows and books and all that stuff where, like, it makes it very clear that we're dealing with a limbo generation. We're dealing with a group of people who weren't the ones who decided this was the adventure they were going on. And also, they're not going to be the people who see the end of the adventure.
Mm.
Right? And because you're dealing with a limbo populace, they are usually pretty mad about it because, like, how dare you? I didn't choose this life, and there's rebellion, and that makes it cool. But then the reason that's cool is because we have, like, all the context leading up to that moment of that's what it is. What we get halfway through Three Body Problem is, oh, by the way, you're the beginning of this adventure. You didn't choose it. In fact, one lady in the 60s chose it for you. And also... they won't get here for 400 years. So you guys won't even see the end of it. Unless you freeze yourselves. I guess you can freeze yourselves now. That's the dude. When Liam Cunningham, Thomas Wade was like, well, I'm going to freeze myself, actually.
Yeah.
You can't just keep making shit up.
And then he's like,
Stop making science shit up.
I'm going to unfreeze myself every, I don't know, 10 or what is it, 10 to 20 years or something and check up on things for a week and then go back to sleep. Like, what the fuck are we
doing? It's a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat. It's, yeah. Okay, we can freeze ourselves now. Also, we can put brains in boxes and send them into space. Also, they're not coming here for 400 years.
Yeah.
Also, Will is the brain in the box. He has cancer. He's choosing this life. Also, Saul's important now, and CCH Pounder is going to pick him for a special mission. Also, like...
And what got me about Saul's ending there, too, was he's just like, I don't want this. And they're like, no, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah.
Also, now it's an invasion story. Also, yeah. Now we're all bugs. Also, Jonathan Pryce's Mike Evans is dead. He had a little thing. that he was holding that was all the important MacGuffin, and that thankfully didn't get cut in half by all the nanofibers.
They were able to find that one specific thing in the rubble, and then next to his slice through body that they showed, like, you know what, I'll give this show a lot of credit. The visuals were, I think, very well done across the board. All the historical stuff, the older stuff in the 60s, the new stuff, the effect of that ship getting cut by the nanofibers, that looked great. I mean, it was really well done. It's like they saved up their whole budget for that one scene.
Yes, I think they did, because the CGI in the scene where Augie was in Mexico was terrible. Also, a thing I learned is that I don't know what three characters, because I'm a bad podcaster, but three characters came from one character in the book. If I had to guess.
Oh, yes.
I would probably say like Saul, Augie, and Jin, probably. I don't know.
The three. Yeah.
And I'm guessing those ones because they all came off a little thin, especially in the second half of the book.
Sure.
Show. Fuck. Okay. So
you'll get there.
Yeah, we did it eventually. It only took me three body problem times. So,
hey.
Yeah, we did it. So Jin is a normal human being, smart.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Normal human being. And then, boom, she's one of the most important scientists on Earth.
Yeah.
Augie is like a normal human being, smart, one of the smartest people in this friend group. Then she genocides and feels sad, drinks herself into oblivion, goes to Mexico.
Yeah.
Saul is a smart guy, but he's smoking. He smokes doobies and he has one night stands, and Augie is in love with him, but somehow he can't see that. But then he goes off and does whatever. But also now he's CCH Pounder chosen him, and he's one of the most important people on Earth, and people are shooting him with sniper rifles.
He's one of three most important people on Earth. And yeah, that was the one thing that I was saying a few moments ago, that he was just thrusted this mantle saying, "You are a wall facer." He's like, "I don't want to do this." And they're like, "No, that's fine." And he's just like, no, I put in my resignation. No, they're like, "Yeah, no, we get it."
Like, weirdly, I liked that part. Big Head from Silicon Valley was in there.
Yes.
I think although it did bring up a thing I don't like, which is when characters get the same news five times, but refuse to accept the reality of it.
Sure.
Like, they take way too long to be like, okay, that's just the truth.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was funny. I think there was a few humorous scenes that they threw in there that made it less weighty, but which I'm fine with. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I think the show is like, oh yeah, you're going to do this and you're not even going to realize that you're doing it. He's like, but I'm not going to do anything at all.
Yeah, like, don't do that though in the finale, right? Have that happen earlier and then have something pay off from it.
Right. Yes.
Introduce it and then pay it off within. And by the way, don't spend 20 to 25 minutes of a finale telling Saul something over and over again and him being like, no. Yeah. Because you know why? That's boring. And we only have an hour to do a finale of a season of television. And you wasted 20 minutes of Saul being like, I don't wanna.
Yeah, I remember checking the time. I think it was the scene where he confronted the shooter in his hospital room. I remember checking the time of the show, and I'm like, what? How are we almost like halfway through this episode?
Why do that scene? That scene did not need to have. Yeah, okay. So what does that scene tell us, right? That Saul's inquisitive. Because
sure.
But who cares? It's just that we haven't seen him in so long.
Know your enemy, Ryan.
So stupid. And then the cultists are culty?
Of course.
We already knew that.
Yeah. Check and
no
check.
No new information there. But just like solidifying that Benedict Wong has to hang out with you.
Yeah, which is fine and seems like a cool dude. So
it's just that, like, okay. In the opening of the show.
Yeah.
Show the 1960s and then show a fast forward to You Are Bugs and then bring us to that moment or something. Mm. It's like, okay.
Quicker.
Just so many beginnings of show things happened at weird random times in the show.
Yeah.
Like the You Are Bugs thing is a major plot point that needs to happen within the first two episodes. It's just... I don't know. It just feels like they took scenes. They had all these scenes written out, and then they threw darts at a dartboard and chose when they were going to be.
That would be a bummer. But yeah, I mean, when I was reading up on this show, I saw a couple of fans going back and forth saying, well, I think that the show took too long to get started, which is the one I agree with. I think that they could have gotten it done sooner and been able to tell more cool stuff throughout the show. Then the other side saying
that... I disagree wholeheartedly. It did not get... It started great. In fact, the pacing was so good. The problem was, like I just said, they put beginning show stuff in the middle of a show. So it feels like the beginning of the show didn't happen until the middle of the show. But
yeah,
turns
maybe
out,
that's the feeling I got.
What actually was happening was that the start of the show happened six times.
Six body problems.
I got 99 body problems and they're all terrible and they give me a sciatica.
Give me sciatica. Yeah, so the other side of that was that they, people felt that they still rushed it because there's so much going on in the books that I mean, it's facing the same fate as a lot of adaptations from books, is it skips over a lot of stuff. But I mean, the big sci-fi nerds are saying, well, we want to hear every little data string on screen, which I don't agree with, because that would be very boring.
I'm just saying, pick a thing.
Yeah, pick one and go with it. I didn't like that. What was it? Operation Staircase? What the hell kind of name is that?
I don't care. That's the thing. Like, okay.
Hated
are you
that.
Gonna be a, are you gonna be a video game show? Are you gonna be a space show? Are you gonna be an alternative history show? Are you gonna be an invisible assassin show? Are you gonna be a murder show? Are you gonna be a politics show? Are you gonna be, did I say science already? Are you gonna be
an apocalyptic show?
A futuristic show. We can freeze people, and now we take brains out of people and put them in boxes and put them into space.
Yeah.
You can't be 10 shows. A hat on a hat on a hat. You have to choose something, and you can't make those 10 decisions at 10 different times within an 8-episode time span whenever you fucking want.
Yeah. Like, it's you know what? I think it would have been served better if there was 10 episodes and each episode was a different thing. Focus
solely
on that thing.
Dude, when I looked down at my phone and realized there were only 8 episodes, yeah. I was like, no.
Yeah, same.
Come on.
Because the first thing you said to me was like, oh, I think it's a miniseries. Because again, I had no idea about this show. So I'm like, eight episodes? What are they trying to do? Like a Band of Brothers thing? But then, like you said, episode 7, I'm like, okay, where are we going here?
By the way, it sounds like I don't like the show.
I think you like the content. It's just presented.
It just makes me. It's one of those things that
weird.
Makes me angry because it was so close.
So
many times to being so good, and it just kept tripping over itself over and over again.
Yeah, there was a lot of really, really great standout moments that I really loved, and it was done so well. But overall, I think it just missed the dartboard.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Wall Facer?
Yeah.
Here's my... You just pointed it out. Staircase.
Staircase? Wall Facer.
400 years.
Oh.
Lady with a sword.
Yeah.
Wasteland. Three body problems? but...
Is this a slam poem?
The video game. Right. Yeah, exactly. All these things.
Also, in
coming
reading,
at you at light speed.
In reading a little bit about this show's backstory using the first show and the book, there's also a wall breaker that we'll be hearing about, I think. So I don't know anything about it. I just remember seeing that term, wall breaker. So there's someone who faces the wall and looks at it, and then there's someone who breaks through the wall. It's definitely a metaphor.
Yeah, I read Plato's Cave too. Do you remember back in the day when a lady was seeing numbers in her eyes?
Yes.
I want that again.
Yeah, I want that again.
It reminded me of that
Justin Timberlake movie where they had their life on their arm. I can't remember what it was called. It wasn't a great movie, but I do liked that aspect.
It just felt like the person who wrote the book was like, I like the show, I like the movie Limitless. I like, or the one, whatever you just said with the time with the Justin Timberlake.
Sure.
Just throw Limitless in there too.
Limitless was pretty cool too. Very smart people, but they're using drugs.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I said it wrong, but I'm just like double it down because that's okay. The cornerstone of podcasting.
Sure.
He just had 20 ideas and it was in a bucket. They were all on pieces of paper. And he's like, what am I going to write today?
Yeah.
Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Ooh, to start off, we'll do alternative history. I love that. And then where are we going with it? Space? What? I've surprised myself.
Oh, video games, crazy stuff.
Dude, I loved the video games part.
I know. It was the best part. And I loved the where they, every time they went to a new civilization in the game, level two, level three, they were meeting with like these world powers, and there's always these two like snickery scientists, you know?
One played by Mark Gatiss from from Sherlock, who I love that guy. Also, the little girl was so good.
Yes. Yeah. So like all that stuff was so well done. I'm so bummed it went off the rails a little bit.
It went off a lot of it. There are two Sofons here. They can be anywhere they want ever forever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they can go at the speed of light.
Also a horror show.
That seems
Liam
like a
Cunningham
cop out.
Sees a version of him with his eyes out on a plane.
Yep.
That's scary.
Also, you know, I didn't watch much of Game of Thrones. I do know about it. I do know the characters, but
sure.
I had no idea that this guy sounds exactly like Liam Neeson.
Sure.
He
The Onion Knight
sounds
baby.
Exactly like Liam Neeson. And
I didn't want it to be this way.
I wanted to like it so badly.
No, that's not even it. I had no expectations for this. In fact, I wanted to hate it because that makes podcasts better.
Sounds like, I mean, we're more on the negative side than
positive.
We've
been negative for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
What, how many times? Minutes? Okay. We've been negative for 36 minutes.
Sure.
So, and by we, I mean me. And I've been shouting over you.
I mean, you know, I agree with you a lot on a lot of it. It's just, I liked watching the show. It was a fun experience. I don't think it's the best put together show, but
the first half, I
would say it's bingeable. I mean, I finished it in 2 days, in two sessions, but the first, like you said, the first half was so captivating to watch. It just felt better in every way. And I'm just so bummed. I said it already. I'm just bummed it went off the rails.
The first half was like, I've been talking about, like, the hallmark for TV shows for me right now is Severance.
Okay.
I think it's the best show on, or at least one of the best shows on television, right?
I need to finish watching.
Was up there with, like, Succession and The Bear, and like it was that caliber. The reason makes me so mad about Three Bodies Problems is that like there were moments in the first half of Three Body Problem that were that good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That were like so messed up or so fun or so well thought out that there was like a glimpses of a really great show. And then you do Wallface or Sofon to me and I'm like, I'm out.
It's a cop out.
You can't just keep making up words. You can't just keep making up science that's real now. Oh, what? How do we solve this problem? We can just freeze them. We've been able to do that for 2 seconds. Perfect. We can do it now. No. Earn something ever in the second half of this show. Whatever, man.
You have 400 years, dude. Figure it out.
I feel bad. You started this podcast off saying you liked it.
I do generally like it. I just don't think it's a very well thought out show. But I mean, it was fun to watch. I like watching it.
I liked it. I think it's stupid, but
I think it's just it unraveled itself, you know, halfway, three quarters of the way through, and it did not finish strong, which is
I wish the past affected the present more too. Like that was one of my favorite parts of the show at the beginning, that they did the alternative history thing. I'm literally losing my voice from screaming. But like, I wish the present had subtle changes.
Yes.
Based on like the butterfly effect of the alternative history that I thought was one of the coolest parts of the first half of the show. Like, what what differences should the present have had from your perspective? Choose, like, think of one that you think would have, like, okay, Dune does it perfectly, right? We get lore in Dune that computers are bad. Now we have dragonfly helicopters. Sick.
Dragonfly helicopters.
What's the dragonfly helicopter that should have happened in Three Body Problem?
Oh, gosh. You put me on the spot here.
Bill Nye the Science Guy is not real.
He's not real. Yeah, he's not real.
He decided to be a lawyer.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole, you know, we're killing your science thing. I thought that was cool, like, as a way to allow the, what are they, the Santi, I think they're called, allow the Santi to have a chance against Earth's technology 400 years in the future. They're going after our science. I think that was a really cool idea. But then when they drop the, yeah, we have these supercomputers that can cover the entire Earth in a sheet of nanoplastic and that can travel at speed.
I forgot about that part.
I'm like, I thought your technology wasn't as good as ours.
No, it's way better than ours. But their point is that in 400 years, it's not going to be.
Yeah.
So I guess, but okay. Also, and the amount of agency all the characters have is null and void because two characters did like 90% of the plot. Okay. Ye told the aliens to come because she was mad.
Right.
And Mike Evans, played by Jonathan Pryce, was talking to an alien and was like, dude, the wolves and the little princess.
The lying, you know, white
and
lies kind of thing.
The aliens were like, wait, lying?
Wait, how dare you?
And then he did such a poor job of explaining, like, lies are fine.
Yeah,
they're not that bad.
I really did enjoy those scenes where they had him and he was talking to the alien lord over the speaker system. I love those scenes because it kind of like put me in the scenario of like he's talking to this alien and he has the insight that the rest of the people in the show don't have and aren't doing in real time. So I just think that was a cool way they used to say like this dude is the voice of the world to the aliens and it was his fault that they're now going to kill us.
That's why I'm over 9,000 bummed, my dude, because those scenes were cool, but at the same time, I was always thinking in my head during those scenes, okay, the first thing we heard of these aliens was the person or the alien pacifist talking to Ye and being like, yo, don't keep pointing signals at the sun because all of my friends are so mean.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wait, are these the mean friends talking to Mike Evans or is this the pacifist talking to Mike Evans?
Yeah.
And if it's the pacifist, if that's the bullhorn, if that's the outward communication director of the aliens, is it that pacifist that was then switched because of the stupid Little Red Riding Hood story and then decided, nope, they're bugs. Actually, we're going to destroy them for the whole time. Or is the truth the beginning truth, which is when Ye said, no, come here, conquer the world. We are stupid bugs and we can't be like in charge of ourselves anymore. We're dumb idiots. Just come here. So who was he talking to? And the alien that he was talking to, was that alien planning the whole time or was the collective, because we learned actually the alien said it. Dude. Okay. The alien
I'm just
said,
letting you, I'm letting you ride this one out.
The alien, I'm finding it. The alien said that they are a collective mind, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're hive mind.
Okay, so how is there a pacifist and how is there mean ones?
So is that a lie? Is it a so they are capable of lying as well?
Yeah. Also, by the way, Ye pointed out to Saul, a thing Saul knows but he doesn't know he knows yet, is that if you talk in metaphor, if you talk in jokes, something Mike Evans knew before he got sliced into a million pieces, that they can't understand us. It's talking in metaphor and talking in jokes is like the ultimate weapon that humanity has, and hopefully Saul comes to that understanding while being a wall seeker.
I have this very strange, you know, if they get a second season, you know, I hope they get a second season because I do want a little bit of redemption for the show.
Everyone in the world's watching it. They're going to get a second season.
Yeah. I just think that there's enough there to where they could redeem themselves and have it be a really, really cool wrap up. If they only do two seasons, three seasons, whatever they do. I have this really strange suspicion that these aliens in the grand scheme of things aren't that important.
Oh, why?
So, because we're talking about space and technology and the human condition and communication, I just think that this is a small pawn in the whole game of chess that is this universe. But that's okay. My take. I could be totally wrong, but I just have a feeling that these aliens, they seem like a big bag of threat right now, but I think that they're going to be generally insignificant towards the end. And maybe that's how the books go. I have no idea. I know nothing about this show, but that's just the vibe I get, that this is kind of a red herring, or the aliens are a bit of a red herring.
That's fine. Okay, what do the aliens want? Because they said exactly, one thing at the beginning.
Exactly why I think it's not that big of a deal, because we really don't even know. We just know that their world has the three-body problem, which is the solar thing, and like there's catastrophe and stuff. But maybe they're just looking for a new place to settle, whatever. But are they lying too? Like, we don't know if that pacifist or what the fuck,
right?
What did you say? You know what I'm talking about. That the first alien was telling the truth or not, or if they found a way to.
Because if they just changed their mind because of the stupid wolf story, if that was the straw that broke the camel's back, they were like, wait. The wolf is lying to that little girl?
You have fairy tales?
It's over.
Yeah.
Earth is done.
Yeah, we're on our way anyway, but we're just going to kill you all now.
If that's the truth, that's so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, decent show. First half of the show, really great. But also, like, watch Counterpart, watch Fringe, watch The Expanse, watch For All Mankind, Resident Alien, Foundations. Like, there are, or Foundation, sorry, Tales from the Loop. Like, there are so many sci-fi shows that are underrated. Nobody watches them and are better than Three Body Problem because they're not number one on Netflix. And I would recommend all the ones that I just said. But also, you know, Three Body Problem is pretty good. So that's fine. Lost in Space, even campy as fuck as it is.
What do you think is the reason why this show got so much traction?
By the way, don't watch Raised by Wolves.
No, bad. Well, the first episode was very cool, but bad.
That's true. Watch the first episode. What's the reason?
What do you think the reason is that this series became so popular and the others really didn't?
There are a few reasons. One, it's already based on a trilogy of books that is very, very well. A lot of people read it. A lot of people bought them.
Okay.
Two, it's a Chinese story and Chinese audiences are gigantic. And when Chinese audiences are behind something, it's a huge push. You can tell, like, a lot of Marvel movies, you can use the word pander, but like, and that's because that's the first one I came up with, but like they do push it towards Chinese audiences. A lot of, because if you get, that foundation under your show or under your movie, if you get that a large group of people from China to watch it, then it's going to have more legs than it would otherwise, right? Like, and also at the same time, because the Game of Thrones guys watched it or made it, and because it has Isaac Gonzalez in it, It has John Bradley in it. It has like four people from Game of Thrones. Like, there are a lot of things behind it.
But the main one is this
is a incredibly popular Chinese story brought to an American audience.
Interesting.
So it's just given a leg up. It's given a platform before we even set eyes on it.
It's a bummer because that's the same way I felt at the beginning of watching Cowboy Bebop, and we see how that turned out.
Oh, no. Not the same, though.
Not the
same. Japan and China are different places.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, you know, bringing it to a new audience, you know, a story that's clearly successful and a lot of people love, bringing it to a new platform, new audience. You would think it would have more popularity, and not even if it's bad, but like a lot of people watching it. I don't even think a lot of people watched it.
Yeah.
Anyway, good show. Do the wrap it up for us. You do the end of the HBO Boys now.
Yes, so we would love you to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you can get exclusive first listens to these podcasts. You can listen without ads. You can talk to us on our Discord and tell us shows that you'd like us to do. I think this ended up being a show from one of our listeners who said, hey, watch the show. It seems pretty cool. And so we did. And now you're listening to us talk about it. So
Ye gets off screen murdered by Tatiana, probably with a gun, where she was from, in the place on the in China. So stupid. Keep going.
So you can add in your thoughts and concerns and loves and hates into our Discord channel. We'd love to chat with you. Please also follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys or the HBO Boys Pod on Threads, Instagram. I'm pretty active on Threads, so shoot me a follow there and interact. It'd be really fun. And we'd like to thank our patrons. And if you subscribe and you become a patron, you can put whatever you want for your name and I'll read it because that's super fun. So I'd like to thank Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. And we'd like to also thank Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you so much for that. That's super awesome. Helps us do cool stuff. So keep doing that. Tell your friends, share, like, comment, subscribe. All that wonderful stuff.
Yeah, you did an amazing job. Tell us what to watch next, please.
Yeah, tell us what to watch. Or are you asking me that?
So good point.
So I watched a movie, Ryan, has been out for a while, but I just got around to watching it.
Jaws?
Greenland. Did you ever see that with Gerard Butler?
Dude, you and Sammy have the same TikTok algorithm.
What? No, I watched the movie on HBO.
Yeah, I know.
What does that have to do with TikTok?
Because it's been pushed. It gets pushed once a year on me. I've watched all of it in its tiny pieces.
Oh, no, I never saw anything on social. I just happened to come across it as like a suggested on HBO Max, whatever it was on.
I don't believe you.
No, it was pretty good. And a disaster movie. Love those disaster movies, as you know, if you've listened to us. And I think it was probably the most plausible. And I think it was very well done. So if you have a chance to watch that movie, it's kind of a cool watch.
Was it spooky?
Not spooky, but it was like one of those impending doom shows where they know something's going to happen and it's just like the whole lead up that thing that happens.
Adam, I'll watch it, whatever.
So did you watch Don't Look Up?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so you know how at the end they're at the dinner table and the meteor crashes and everyone dies?
Yeah, and they die, yeah.
Yeah, so it's got that same lead up feeling, cool. But it has a completely different
end. Don't tell me the end.
No, yeah, right? Yeah. It's completely different.
I don't know why I'm being so.
It's very chill.
All right,
but
yeah,
no,
I'll watch it.
I liked it.
Cool.
I think Gerard Butler was really great. I really liked it.
This is Greenland.
Greenland starts now.
That's a good ending for the show.
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
Greenland starts now.
Yeah, that was one too many times.